KCRW sponsors include Riot Games, presenting the soundtrack for Emmy Award-winning series Arcane, inspired by League of Legends, featuring The Line by 21 Pilots, in association with Virgin Music Group.
This hour, Joni Mitchell in a live performance with special guest Larry Klein.
Once in a while in a big blue moon, there comes a night like this. Like some surrealist invented this 4th of July night ride home. Hula girls and caterpillar tractors in the sand. The ukulele man, the fireworks this 4th of July. Night ride home. I love the man beside me. We love the open road. No phones till Friday. Far from the overkill, far from the overload. Back at the bar, the banter's down, but out here in the headlight beam, the silver power lines, they gleam on this 4th of July night ride home. We come around the curve and a big dark horse, red tail lights on his hide, is keeping right alongside. Rev 4 stride, 4th of July night ride home. I love the man beside me. We love the open road. No phones till Friday. Far from the overkill, far from the overload. Once in a while in a big blue moon, there comes a night like this, like some surrealist invented this 4th of July night ride home. On a night ride home. On a night ride home.
It's so nice listening to you guys play this song and to see your exchange of smiles and that one point in the song where you say, I love the man beside
me.
Oh,
yeah, this was a beautiful trip we took. It was. We went to 4th of July. We went to Hanalei. Was it Hanalei?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Kauai, yeah.
And we had a really nice evening. And there was like a lot of local kind of hula stuff while it was light. And then there was a band, there were two bands, a traditional ukulele band, like slack key band playing in one room, and then there was a rock band playing in the other, and we befriended the wife of one of the band members that night. Then the drive home was really kind of surreal. Actually, you got to give kind of a pre-setting to it. We rented this house, and before we left, the people who rented the house next to us had decided to have this barbecue on our beach. Now, we weren't going to be using that beach that night, but when you pay for a private beach, it kind of like bugs you to see these people like frying burgers on your beach, you know?
You want to at least be able to look at it.
So, and plus they were shooting off these rockets, right? And I was standing at the window thinking, that's our beach, you know, we paid for that beach and everything. So anyway, then logic enters into the, and you think, well, you know, we're not going to be using it. We're going on the other side of the island. So we go over to the other side of the island. We have a pleasant evening listening to this traditional music and a little bit of the rock. And we come in home, and honest, either we had a tinted windshield in the car or else there was a real blue moon. But the clouds were scudding overhead real fast. They were moving like, you know, on our route anyway, they were moving right to left across, and there was a big blue moon hanging in the sky.
Oh, yeah.
And in the and everything seemed enchanted. The dots on the highway seemed enchanted. The wires as they scooped along like outside the window seemed more silver than ever. And in the distance, we thought we saw a flying saucer land. It was, we couldn't figure it out. It was like this patch of light in the middle of the field. Well, when we came up on it, it was a big yellow tractor with the headlights on and guys in overalls with one leg up on the bumper drinking beer and laughing in the middle of this cane field. Then when we came to our turnoff, this horse loped alongside of us, literally with the taillights of our car like reflecting on his hide and his big eyes staring in the window. When we got back to the house, we walked in and it smelt of burn. It smelt like of wet firewood. Went into the bedroom, and we had just found a kitten a couple of days early, a little runty kitten, like that was prematurely weaned and really high-spirited, and we left her in there. We came into the house, and there was a stink of fire, wet fire. Went into the bedroom. The bed had been moved out into the middle of the room, and all the bedclothes were soggy, and there was a big hole in the roof and a note from the neighbors who'd had the barbecue on our beach saying, gee, suddenly your roof caught fire. We don't know how it happened, but we rented your house on our last vacation, so we knew where the spare key was. So we stuck a garden hose like up on your roof, and we came... You know, but they started the fire because they were with their rockets at the beginning of the evening. And this little kitten was in there, you know. But the whole thing was kind of surreal and enchanted.
Like a film.
Yeah, it was like this funny little film.
Well, aren't you astonished, Larry, at how vivid Joni's memory is?
Oh, she's amazing. I mean, when it comes to that kind of information, like what, you know, I mean, she'll remember like several years ago, you know, we were in this room on, you know, in this city, and the drapes were blue, and they had this pattern on them.
Yeah.
And
what they this, smelled like. What
and they were well stitched also. They were.
There was maybe a mildew scent, you know, smell to them or something. I mean, she gets very detailed.
No, she's got an amazing memory for that kind of information.
Joni Mitchell in the studio with Larry Klein. I'm Chris DeRitas. Morning Becomes Eclectic on KCRW. We're hearing a live performance.
Chicken into town with the brakes complaining. I used to count lovers like railroad cars. I counted them on my side. Lately I don't count on nothing. I just let things slide. The station master shuffling cards. Boxcars are banging in the yards. Jealous loving will make you crazy if you can't find your goodness, 'cause you lost your heart. 'Cause you lost your heart. A strong cat without claws, or any reason to resume. And I found this empty seat in this crowded waiting room. I found everybody waiting. There's an old man sleeping on his banks, women with that teased up kind of hair, kids with the jitters in their legs, and those wide, wide open stairs. and the kids got cokes and chocolate bars. There's a thin man smoking a fat cigar. Jealous loving will make you crazy if you can't find your goodness, 'cause you lost your heart. 'Cause you lost your heart. Well, I've got this birth and this roll down blind. I got this full lap sink. And these rocks and these cactuses going by. And a bottle of German wine to drink. I'm gonna settle down into the clickety clack with the clouds and the stars to read. Dreaming of the pleasure I'm gonna have. Watching your hairline recede, my vain darling. Watching your hair and clouds and stars. I'm rocking away in a sleeping car. Oh, jealous loving's gonna make me crazy. I can't find my goodness, I lost my heart. Because I lost my heart. I lost my heart.
Joni Mitchell and Larry Klein live on KCRW's Morning Becomes Eclectic. You guys let out a big release at the end of that one. 1974, that song, Court and Spark.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder. I mean, it's funny, isn't it? How some songs sort of retain something for you after years go by, and some don't. I would imagine that's true, that some of your songs don't hold up.
Well, most of them hold up. Some of them die for a while, like, you know, and then you get a new perspective on them. You get another experience that makes them fresh. That's the weird thing about, you know, the interview system. You finish an album, they go out, what did you mean by that and all? It's kind of a shame because it limits it, you know, what you meant at the time you wrote it. And even with the writer, 10 years later, you can have another experience which puts a whole new slant on it. And, of right. course, as it goes out to the public, they all bring their own individual experience to it. And, you know, it's kind of myriad. And human nature is pretty much human nature. And so, but there are a lot of variations on perspective. And the author's perspective can change on a piece over time. So when that happens, it kind of gives them new life.
Yeah, it's interesting to me, you know, why you brought the songs that you did that were older songs.
The only ones I remember.
That's not true. But I mean, obviously, this song right now is saying something to you, and I'm not sure what that is exactly. Maybe you're not even sure, but it seems to.
I like it musically. It makes me happy to play that little funny pattern. You know, like, yeah. And I like the black humor in it. And I like the pastiche, you know. I mean, I like the gangly kids and the old guys, and you know the panoramic vista. But it's still a picture I like to look at, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, you are returning to live performance more now than you have in the last 10 years or so, aren't you?
Kind of. I did 2 gigs this year. You know, I didn't do anything much except a benefit maybe every 2 years for the last 12.
Are you planning on getting out on the road more this year?
Maybe.
It just depends, I suppose.
Depends on a lot of variables.
Such as?
It's got to be fun, you know, like something happens. I've never liked the big stage, you know, I can't even tune because of the tunings are a real handicap, especially with with night air and lights messing with them, because the guitars are tuned so slack. Keeping them in tune in performance, especially outdoors, is really tricky. I like it to sound good. I like it to be in tune. If it goes out, it's unpleasurable.
Oh yeah.
And then of course there's people out there with tape recorders recording it, and then if it was just going up into the ether, that's one thing, but there are records left of it, I like the recording art because you have a certain amount of control. Not that we need to punch in or we're competent players, but sometimes yeah. more than competent. But I always feel that sometimes the best of my ability goes up into the midnight air when I'm alone. Being as good as I would like to be on a big stage has been difficult. Technology is catching up with it. Just wiring a guitar, there are now good pickups that are fairly natural sounding, but through the old systems, the sonics put off by like EQ imposition by the guy like at the monitors or something, can make it very difficult to tune when you go out, and that makes it unpleasant.
Do you think that does it happen that during a performance you're often thinking about?
If it's out of tune, I'm thinking about it. Then I blow the words, and then I'm bad, and then I feel bad, and then I never want to play again.
Yeah.
There you go.
Joni Mitchell and Larry Klein live on KCRW.
Betsy's blue, she says, and tell me something good. You know I'd help her out if I only could. Oh, but sometimes the light can be so hard to find. At least the moon at the window, the thieves left that behind. Turn it off and on like a bathtub faucet. Oh, sometimes the light can be so hard to find. At least the moon at the window, the thieves left that behind. Her heart, I know these battles deep in the dark when the spooks of memories rattle. Ghost of the future, phantoms of the past, rattle, rattle, rattle in the spoon and the moon behind the blind. moon at the window.
Joni Mitchell in the studio with Larry Klein. I'm Chris Derides. Morning Becomes Eclectic on KCRW. I was going to ask you, Joni, to sort of play a little bit of a word association game with me just on, and when I was trying to think of, you know, what I wanted to throw at you, well, you'll see. I mean, the first thing I wanted to throw at you was Larry Klein.
Word association?
Yeah.
Wonderful human being. Is that the kind of response
you
want?
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, that's basically my take, which is a funny take for a separated couple, but yeah, that, I would say that would be the first thing that would spring all the way along, even in the worst of our travail, you know.
How about Peter Asher?
Peter Asher. Peter and I were friends for 17 years before he became my manager. Our friendship was always very kind of blunt and confronting. His first wife, Betsy, used to say, "Oh, I can't believe he treated you like that." I said, "It doesn't bother me. It kind of runs off my back, you know." Peter and I always, like, were kind of conflicted, you know, like, oh, who? Somebody described it as Winston Churchill and Noel Coward. Well, which one am I?
Neil Young.
Neil Young, fellow prairie person, fellow polio survivor, fellow Scorpio, fellow songwriter.
Dylan.
Dylan, positively Fourth Street. You got a lot of nerve to say you are my friend. When I heard those words, up till then I was kind of a detractor of Bobby's. I thought he was a copycat. You know, he was a
Guthrie.
Woody Guthrie clone, you know. But when he wrote that, I thought, okay, the American pop song has grown up. Up until that point, I separated songs and poetry. I wrote poetry privately. I didn't like poetry, so I didn't really show it to anybody. I wrote some in class on assignment, had to, you know. But when I heard that song, I thought, now we can write songs about anything. It opened up the possibility of songwriting topically. It was infinite then. Anything.
Miles Davis.
Miles Davis is you know, my musical love, I guess you'd have to say. Almost any, I'm tolerant of even of the periods that I don't like so much, the later bands, you know, where it gets more fusion-y. I think there were better choices he could have made. I would like to have heard him. Klein and I agree on this. We both, with Brian Eno, I tried to get him to play with me. It wasn't until he died that I found out to his brother how I could have worked that. You know, I said to his brother, I said, you know, Miles wouldn't play with me because I was a white chick, you know. He said, no, Joni, it wasn't that, but it was because you were a singer. You know, he did play with one singer, and she was, you know, a woman
Shirley
that he grew
Horn.
Up
Billy
with,
Horn,
Shirley,
yeah.
You know. But basically he said, shit, they got the words, you know, I got to do it without the words. He was jealous of the words, in a way. So if I'd known that, I could have given him the tracks bare, you know,
yeah.
No words. And he would have liked it, I think, because he liked melody, and he would have liked the chordal movement, he would have liked the harmony. He did, as a matter of fact, because his son said, you know, he asked me, did you give Miles any of your records? I said, no. He said, did you know that he had all your records? And I said, I was really happy about that. And also, a month before he died, he moved the prints of my paintings from his bathroom beside his bed. So, you know, Miles, in a funny way, like, I think liked what I did.
Huh.
But we just never got a chance to work together.
What's the Brian Eno reference?
Well, Brian had that, you know, Music for Airports, all that stretched out kind of stuff. You know, to give Miles a new period rather than going with the fusion bands that he ended up going with, you know, which
way.
Was kind of noodly. We would have liked to have seen him go, like, to play, you know, with against all that space. I mean, I know Brian Eno, he didn't want any people in that music. He didn't want any fence posts, kind of. Those were landscapes. He might not have wanted Miles on that. But in all that space, I would have liked to see Miles wade through that space, you know. I wanted to wade through some of it myself, you know, put some lyric to it.
Sinead O'Connor.
Sinead.
You know, the story about Sinead being booed at a Dylan concert for having
the Pope's picture, tearing up the Pope's picture.
Yeah, for having done that just what, months before, weeks before the Dylan concert. She was booed off the stage, Madison Square Garden. To me, that just seemed like such an ironic thing for a Dylan audience to do. What do you think of that?
No, I think when I wrote Magdalene Laundries, almost immediately when the text was finished, I called Sinead because I thought, you know, that the song in a way is up her alley thematically. It's taking a poke at the church, but it's taking, I'm hoping, I don't like to unlike Sinead, radicalism, you know, separates, it creates division. What she did was, you could imagine, if you tear up a picture of the Pope, you're going to make Catholics pissed off. It's not constructive.
It's a good portion of the world, too.
It's punk.
You're talking about...
It's a waste. It's a dramatic, showy, immature, if ineffective gesture. But what is behind it, I understand. You know, the church in Ireland could do much to help its people, but doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I just felt that the punk rebel image that she, you know, was shallow thinking on her part, ineffective, and it brought down a fairly predictable response. You know,
yeah,
you could imagine it going the way it did, but it's like Shakespeare, aye, the play's the thing wherein to catch the conscience of the king. Is there a way that you can keep that you can separate the wheat from the chaff so that you can...
That makes me think of a thought that you have about the performing arts. Songs and plays are capable of slowing people down and touching their souls in order to generate thoughtfulness.
Yeah. I think the arts at their best do that. They make people look at things they wouldn't ordinarily look at and maybe plant
the seeds
of difference, you know, like a different way of looking at things.
So yeah. Somehow within the play or the song, you can make a discovery as a performer that other people may see in watching the performance, that they can make the discovery themselves.
It's my optimism that you could actually, that art could change somebody's course, change the way they look at things.
Like that Kafka quote, is it art is the axe for
the
frozen sea
within
us?
Yeah, that's a good one too, yeah. Art is the axe for the frozen sea within us.
Joni Mitchell live on KCRW.
I was an unmarried girl, I'd just turned 27, when they sent me to the sisters for the way men looked at me. Branded as a Jezebel, I knew I was not bound for heaven. I'd be cast in shame into the Magdalene laundries. Most girls come here pregnant, some by their own fathers. Bridget got that belly by her parish priest. We're trying to get things white as snow, all of us woe-begotten daughters, in the steaming stains of the Magdalene laundries. Prostitutes and destitutes and temptresses like me, fallen women are sentenced into dreamless drudgery. Why do they call this heartless place Our Lady of Charity? Ah, charity. These bloodless brides of Jesus, if they had just once glimpsed their groom, then they'd know. And they'd drop the stones concealed behind their rosaries. They wilt the grass they walk upon, they leech the light out of a room. They'd like to drive us down the drain at the Magdalene laundries. Peg O'Connell died today. She was a cheeky girl, a flirt. They just stuffed her in a hall. Surely to God you'd think at least some bells should ring. Dirt. Like some lame bulb that never blooms come any spring, not any spring.
Magdalene Laundries. It's from the new release Turbulent Indigo. In stores today from Warner Reprise. Joni Mitchell performing live on Morning Becomes Eclectic, joined by Larry Klein, also in the studio on bass. I'm Chris Derides. And there's one song on the album that I think is literal in that you were driving in traffic, I suppose, in Los Angeles or somewhere.
The Last Day of the Riots.
Last Day of the Riots. And you came up to a car at a stoplight.
Either a limo or a Cadillac. Big, long, white car. And the license plate said, Just Ice. I mean, probably a rapper. You know, whoever they are out there, they know who they're... You know, this is probably a registered L.A. license plate. I'd never seen the word divided like that. It's like Avion water. Avion is naive backwards. I suspect it's French tap water. And the French are making some money at our expense. Those ignorant English people, we will sell them our tap water.
Joni Mitchell live on KCRW's Morning Becomes Eclectic.
Took a look at his license plate. It said, Just Ice. It's justice, just ice. Governed by greed and lust. Just the strong doing what they can. And the weak suffering what they must. And the gas leaks. And the oil spills. And sex sells everything. Sex kills. six kids. Doctor's pills give you brand new wheels, and the bills bury you like an avalanche. And lawyers haven't been this popular since Robespierre slaughtered half of France. And Indian chiefs with their old beliefs know that the balance is undone. Crazy irons, you can feel it out in traffic. Everyone hates everyone. And the gas leaks, and the oil spills, and sex sells everything. Six kills. Ah, sex kills. All these jack-offs at the office, the rapist in the pool, oh, and the tragedies in the nurseries. Little kids packing guns to school. The ulcerated ozone. These tumors of the skin. A hostile sun beating down on a massive mess we're in. And the gas leaks. And the oil spills. Sex sells everything. Sex kills. Oh, sex kills. Sex kills. Sex kills.
Sex Kills, Joni Mitchell, live on Morning Becomes Eclectic. I'm Chris DeRitas, also joined in the studio by bassist Larry Klein, the two of them performing live, a song that comes from the new release Turbulent Indigo, which is in stores today from Warner Reprise. This is true for a lot of people, I guess, but for you, I understand that chords
have an emotional meaning.
Yeah, depict emotions.
Very complex emotional meanings. Too complex for some people. They just go, Joni's weird chords. I always like to think that Americans, unlike Brazilians, say, Brazilians can take a lot of complex emotion, mm-hmm. being an emotional people.
It's at the root of their...
In the peasant, you know, there. I always think, why can't Americans take that much rhythmic sophistication and that much harmonic sophistication? They seem to like their tragedy minor and their happiness major, and the most they can handle is a seventh, and anything after that is weird. Whereas, like, because I invent these open tunings that I play in, these modalities, a lot of times specifically for the lyric, trying to avoid tragic statements underscored with minors, you know,
good
that's
point.
Generally the pattern.
You know, I think that American harmony is based, and there's, I mean, this is part of what I love about it too, on the positive side, but it's based on church music, you know, and, mm-hmm. and the church was
the record
is a very, very repressive kind of force in music, you know, and I mean, especially as the music developed, you know, it was, if you didn't stick to these very pure harmonies, it was deemed as devil's music.
Oh, yeah.
Bad
the Klein
stuff,
pointed you know? Out, because he's, you know, I am a sophisticated, intuitive, right? But Klein's a musical, he's musically educated. In Sunny Sunday, the first cut, I used the devil's change. Isn't that what it's called? The devil, unwittingly, what is it called? The devil's...
The tritone?
Or yeah.
A movement.
It was forbidden by the church.
No, yeah. Really?
Yeah. And it was for, I didn't know it. It just, you know, within the course of the tunings, there's, you know, your chords, yeah, are certain shapes. When you set up a new tuning, I explore it with a vocabulary of shapes. The shapes may appear in different positions, but I have very simple left-handed fingering, but very complex chords come out of it, you know. So within that tuning, I needed to underscore the apex, you know, the main gable on the architecture of that piece of music. I found this, that one little victory, that's all she needs. Isn't that what it underscores?
Oh, yeah.
The church forbade it, you know why? Because it evokes doubt. Every chord, uh-huh, must be designed to keep the eyes lifted up to the cathedral ceiling,
yeah,
you know? And somehow or other this put, you know, the chords are diagrams of emotions. That's why the Stand By Me changes have been reworked so many times in pop music, because they're straight to the people's heart. Mm. It's, you know, it's like a cliche in pop, and yet there are thousands of songs written on that formula. But people like that. It goes straight to the heart. So church music was kind of the same thing. But this particular chord change, like, was, so the chorus goes like this. So here's this woman, she's standing with a gun, she's taking pot shots at the streetlight outside her, and she keeps missing. You know. But the day she hits, that's the day she'll leave. That one little victory, that's all she needs. That's all she needs. That is the devil's interval, and it was forbidden by the church.
Pause to consider.
Something in it, the harmonic thing, yeah, puts a tilt,
the
makes the heart tilt. Yeah. It's not fully, it takes your eyes off the cathedral ceiling and makes, mm-hmm, them look at your toes.
if Stand By Me, you know, that like, you know, that chord progression, if that hits you in the heart, where do you think traditional kind of chord movement in church music hits you? Like, where would you, where
it's
physically
more cerebral
would you think?
Than
you
know, that. It's,
like
would, don't
would
you
it,
think?
Would it hit
Gregorian?
You? Would it hit you up here? Or?
Yeah, where's the
it
center?
Stays away from your genitals, I'll tell you that.
It's going to go up rather than down.
At all
nowhere
costs,
near.
Nowhere near.
You've brought with you today some new songs, too. Songs from an album that has not been recorded yet. The, mm-hmm, next project.
Mm-hmm.
This, I'm guessing, is an album that's in progress. It's not completely worked
it's
out.
It's just those two songs, you know, because now I'm in, you know, I'm on the campaign trail.
A vote for me is a vote for Honest Jones, sort of.
So all the energy goes, like, pretty much into promoting this now. So it'll be a while until you get the chance to, mm-hmm, internalize and...
Has the album After Turbulent Indigo taken shape?
We've started it, eh? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We've got Love's Cries with Wayne on it and everything. Although I think the way I performed it then, well, you can imagine it's a very tricky situation in a way, because, you know, I think the performance of it requires a certain kind of... I played it in Edmonton to a live audience with lovers in the front row, right in my face, you know. And seeing them respond brought out a sparkle and a mischief in the performance, whereas the one that I have on tape is kind of equally valid, but it's kind of restrained, mainly because, out of respect to Klein, you know, like Klein and they're in separation, and he's got a new, you know, or had at that time a new girl, but still, you know, we're close, and it's hard, you know, to see your partner going off with someone else. Yeah. So it was... The performance we have on tape is kind of respectfully restrained.
Well, let's go for one live here and see what we come up with here today. Joni Mitchell and Larry Klein live on KCRW's Morning Becomes Eclectic.
Hey, Robbie! It was a dark and a stormy night. Everyone was at the winding. They weren't the winding type. So they went up on the train bridge where the weather was howling. And oh, my. When that train comes
folks above, no one else can hear love's cries. They were laughing, they were dancing in the rain. They knew their love was a strong one when they heard the far-off whistle of a train. They were hoping it was gonna be a long one, 'cause my. When that train comes rolling by, there'll be thin walls, no folks above, no one else can hear love's cries. In the back booth of an all-night cafe, two dripping raincoats are hanging. Outside in the weather, shade on the streetlight is clanging. And they smile ear to ear, eye to eye. Ice cream is melting, piece of pie, and oh my, my. No one else can hear love's cry. Every kiss was sweet and strong. Every touch was totally tandem. When that train come rumbling along, they sang a love song of wild abandon. Oh, 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 my, my. When that train comes rolling, no paper thin walls, no folks above, no one else can hear love's cries. No paper thin walls, no folks above, no one else can hear love's cries.